Thank you very much. Thank you for the introduction. So I was really pleased with your talk. You talked about walls, you know, and the barriers to Gaza and the West Bank. I've been to Gaza twice. My interest as a toxicologist is more on the public health side, and I came to appreciate walls. You know, you really confront walls in Gaza and the West Bank. My collaborator, Sahara Blibla, is a Palestinian from Nablus, and she's worked on issues from an architectural standpoint. And one thing that she's focused on is walking through walls, Israeli military approach to going through homes in Nablus. So, and ironically, just to emphasize the issue of walls, Sahara has never been to Gaza. As a Palestinian, she's not allowed to go there. And walls, you know, there are walls all over the place. I just want to point out a poem by Mahmoud Darwish. Has anybody been to Gaza in the West Bank? Quite an experience if you confront the walls there. And on the right side of the kids there is Mahmoud Darwish's memorial, which is also made out of many walls. It's in Ramallah. And I'll talk about some of these other images down in the left-hand corner, walls that are used as murals. But does anybody quickly want to mention a wall that they've confronted? You know, walls don't have to be just physical. They can be blocking Twitter, blocking social media. There's electronic walls. There's barriers to travel. There's all kinds of walls. Let me come back to that. So our focus is going to be, you know, to analyze direct and indirect consequences of walls on human health and well-being, and consider the human rights issues. And of course, you look historically, and I got fascinated with walls. So we've got the China Wall. I was in China a few years ago. I got to see the Chinese Wall. And you've got to be thinking of the Defense Department there. Another Defense Department boondoggle, building enormous walls, like building enormous Trident submarines, more in nuclear industry. But this is a really incredible wall. You think about all the people that died building that wall. Jerusalem, walls surround Jerusalem, and that's another use of walls in surrounding areas. So you have a city inside those walls, and now you can go through the gate. And it's really quite an experience. It is going to the airport and other places in Jerusalem. And I was very fortunate with a couple of Arab kids actually walked on top of the wall, which is an interesting experience cutting through some of the areas. And Mexico-U.S. wall, U.S. has ridiculous walls also. On the left-hand side shows a memorial to Mexicans killed crossing the wall. And it's really been a success. And you see it's called the separation barrier. Separation what? What are the consequences of separation? And of course, the Palestinian-Israeli walls, and you see how huge these walls are. They're incredibly intimidating. They're 8 meters high, 26 feet high. You can see the people standing next to it on the bottom slide there. And we looked at, broadly speaking, the purposes, the consequences of walls, physical or virtual. And you can add to this list, we're working on a paper to define this better. But in, midway down is intolerance, racism, prejudice. I think walls really support that notion. They stop learning, stop exchange of information, and really block interaction between people, which is against humanity and promotion of peace. And you can see I have sea walls. In Gaza, the fishing is blocked. As boats can only go so far from the coast, so there's walls along the ocean. And the bottom there, blocking access to jobs, medical supplies, education, relatives, and friends. Think if there were walls between, you know, in the United States, other than just Mexico, what kind of walls we build up. We built, lately, the biggest walls and the walls to voting. So military versus private, you got to think of the military being involved here. There's a big difference. Obviously, we consent to walls. You know, we're surrounded by walls in this room. We like walls. I mean, walls are part of our infrastructure. You know, we like our walls around our bathrooms, our bedrooms, things like that. But we consent to those walls. And many walls, there is no consent. Mexicans and Latinos did not consent to the walls down there, just as the Palestinians did not consent to the walls. So we broke the walls up into purposes and consequences of walls into four areas. And some of the things overlap: well-being and public health, environment and ecosystem, space, home, walking through walls, transportation and movement. So just a quick look at these. These lists are not complete, and you'll see there's some overlap between the different areas. Education and libraries. Education is difficult, particularly in Gaza. We were there. One thing, I did a lot of lecturing because they don't have access to material readily available. They cannot travel to either other areas of the West Bank. retarded child development. Food and water is blocked and restricted. Nutrition becomes an issue, particularly iron, and for pregnant women. And the consequences, degradation of humanity, and of course, restriction on family and friends. And the environment and ecosystem, I'll show a couple pictures of this, but drinking water is restricted. Like the Wadi Gaza, there's a lot of water pulled from the Wadi Gaza, so it ends up being polluted. Energy is restricted, so you block energy, electrical energy coming into Gaza, which leads to use of generators with leaded gasoline, sewage treatment. And air is an interesting one, because you can't block air. So how do you deal with pollution? Space, home, and walking through walls, demolition. And what are the consequences of demolition to the homes and families? Can you imagine somebody using a hammer to break through your bedroom wall? And so, surprise, I'm here. You're all under arrest. Public spaces, buffer zones, confiscation of property. You can look at clothing, too, as barriers. You know, what are we building? Transportation movement, this is a really critical one. You know, limited market exchange, economic strangulation, and the consequences of that, censorship, social media, security measures, checkpoints. This is winging out of Gaza for those who have been through the Eretz border crossing. You go through an elaborate Israeli checkpoint, border crossing area with many walls and a little cavern you have to go through. But this here is about a kilometer-long tunnel surrounded by walls, obviously walls you have to walk through from going from the Israeli side over to Gaza. It's very intimidating. The first time I went through it, it was really, it's a sort of spooky place to be in. I took these pictures, although we were not supposed to take pictures, and there's a lot of cameras and listening devices along the whole wall. And this just shows those walls there. And these trips were sponsored in part by Washington Physicians for Social Responsibility. If you look closely, you can see WPSR there. You see the individual just to get a size of these walls. This little girl has no place to play because the walls block access to green areas. And this is a real issue, having recreational space and really hazardous places to play. Walking through walls. This is an incredible technique where the Israelis did not want to use doors, even though a door might be just down the way. They would use explosives. As a toxicologist, I pushed Sahara to consider what are the consequences of the dust and silica and the lead and the paint rays when they blow through those walls and contaminate the area where the people live. And when you blow up a lot of walls, you have a lot of rubble. What do you do with that rubble? So the consequence of that is this stuff is broken down. You see a cloudy nature on the left-hand side there. It's silica exposure from grinding up dull concrete. And many times occupational protective equipment is not used, and they have a whole industry trying to recycle these walls. Lead and batteries, they don't have a way to recycle batteries well. So this is another barrier to dealing with trash and pollution. And these people weren't happy. I was taken by some researchers in Gaza looking at those pictures, but they're lead. 2 minutes. Ooh. Lead. And, lead is used to generate electricity because electricity is restricted, so these generators use leaded gasoline. And that leaded gasoline is inhaled by kids. And the Berlin Wall, of course, can't mention that. And I'm not going to have time to read this, but just think, read through this and think about if this was said to, and I'll just pull out the one, the advance of human liberty can only strengthen the cause of world peace. And if we tore down these walls, Mr. Netanyahu teared down those walls like Reagan surprised asked Gorbachev to do. And the real point is our walls are a form of genocide. And this is by Lemkin, who in 1944 wrote a seminal paper about genocide. So generally speaking, genocide does not necessarily mean the immediate destruction of a nation, except when accomplished by mass killings and all members of a nation. It is intended rather to signify a coordinated plan of different actions aiming at the destruction of essential foundation of life of national groups and the aim of annihilating the groups themselves. This is the important part. The objective of such a plan would be to the disintegration of the political, social institutions of culture, language, national feeling, religion, economic existence of national groups, and destruction of personal security, liberty, health, dignity, and even the lives of individuals related to the groups. So our walls contributing to genocide. And of course, there's a crack in everything. That's how light gets in. Thank you very much.